lesson today is found in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. We left off speaking last week to you how that Christ had went up to Jerusalem to the temple. In this chapter, we find him in the temple, and he's answering the people and speaking unto them by parables, and saying unto them, a certain king made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth servants to bid them that were bidden to come to the marriage, to the wedding, and they refused to come. We find that parables were used quite often by the prophets of old, and likewise by Jesus himself. A parable is a similitude, an allegorical fable, used sometimes from history, from nature, and sometimes a parable was a short saying in the Bible. The prophets used these parables to speak to princes and people, to turn them unto God, to convince them of the error of their ways. We find even that Nathan reproved David by a parable, the rich man stealing the poor man's lamb. And David was reproved in this way, and it was brought home to him that he was the man. Christ likewise taught in this way. He spake in parables. Here he is speaking about a certain king. By this king, we are to understand God the Father. We are also to understand by the kingdom of heaven that great and glorious gospel that is being proclaimed and being taught even to this very day. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king that made a marriage feast for his son. God the Father, then, is the king represented in this parable. Before anything ever breathed, God the Father gave unto his son a bride out of the fallen creatures that have fell away from God in and through sin. The Father then had made choice of this bride, and he gave it unto his son, and his son consented to come into this world for this bride. This then is the bride that is meant in this chapter, in this verse. God the Father sent forth then the servants and bid them unto the marriage. From all eternity, from the beginning of mankind, God has been calling and sending forth his servants unto mankind, calling unto them to return unto him. We read in Proverbs, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is sent. And now God sent forth his servants to bid them that were bidden to the wedding. And we find that God sent forth his prophets of old. We may likewise include in these servants Christ himself, his spirit. He sent forth servants to preach his word. The prophets of old, they came with the message of God to the people, and they pleaded with them to return unto God from their sins. They spake unto them in the name of God. This message has been coming unto mankind ever since Adam fell. And these servants, they were sent in particular to the Jewish nation. These people were God's chosen people. They were the only people under heaven amongst whom God labored. God gave unto them his ordinances, his word, his laws. He gave them their whole ritual of religion. These people were an exception, and these people were blessed by God himself speaking unto them with an audible voice from heaven upon the mount when he gave unto them his law. He proclaimed unto them that they should walk in his ways and obey him. This message then in particular came unto the Israelitish nation. They were bidden by God through the mouth of the servants to come to him and to live for him and to obey him. And now we find that they went forth to them that were bidden, and they refused to come. This was the reception that the message received. The prophets earnestly entreated the people, but none of them would return. They were stiff of neck, hard of heart. They were indifferent. They were careless. They would not return. God was a long-suffering God, and in patience, when these men came back and said none would return, he sent other servants and bid them to say unto them that he had prepared his dinner, and that the fatlings had been killed, the oxen, and that all things were ready, come ye to the wedding. This was then the message that these servants had to bring again. By this we may understand how that God in his infinite mercy has prepared many blessings for poor sinners. By the oxen and the fatlings, we may understand the ordinances that God has given us, and likewise how that he proclaims unto sinners that he is in Christ Jesus, a God willing to be reconciled to us, that there is peace, that there is pardon to be found with him, that there is a new birth, a new life, that God will sanctify and justify and prepare us for that glorious abode to be with him. These things are proclaimed. These things are already. We are invited to come as the Jews of old. This message still comes to us. And so these servants, they went forth and proclaimed these glorious truths to the people. But we read they made light of it. The one went to his farm and the other one went to his merchandise. They cared not about this wonderful message. This is the way this message has been being received ever since time began. They made light of it. So likewise, even to this day, my hearers, this message comes to you. It has been coming to you ever since from childhood. You have been hearing the glorious doctrines of the grace of God proclaimed unto you. You've been invited time and again to return unto God. And how have you received it? You have made light of it with myself. This is the nature that we carry about with us. There was one that went to his farm. Another went to his merchandise. So we are all occupied with the things of this life. We have this to do, we have that to do. And these things are more important than what we hear God proclaim by his word and by his servants unto us. We make light of it. Just examine yourselves, my hearers. What is uppermost with you? You're listening to me now, but as soon as you are gone out of here, where does your mind go to? What are you busy with? You are busy with your occupation. You are busy with what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink, what we're going to do tomorrow. All these earthly things, they have the upper hand over us, and we make light of this. We care not about it. We do not esteem this message. We have no regard for it. We are indifferent to it by nature. This is what the Jews were. They made light of it, and so do you and I by nature. A God of love proclaiming unto us to return back to him, and we make light of this message. We do not receive it. We despise it. We disregard it. Oh, my hearers, how these Jewish people acted towards God in this respect, and we with them. And now they made light of it, and God, he likewise, seeing how that they received this, what he proclaimed unto them. And now we find that because they made light of it and went one to his farm and one to his merchandise, then God likewise, and he sent more servants. But these servants, the multitude, they used them despitefully and they slew them. This is the way the messengers were treated with this message that they had from God. They were despitefully used and they were slain. Many of the prophets under the Old Testament were stoned to death. for the truth that they brought, for the message that they had to bring. Some of them suffered tremendously. Just read even the book of Jeremiah, what that man had to go through for the truth that he had to proclaim. Everyone doesn't receive the truth. Everyone doesn't embrace the truth. We by nature are enemies of the truth. We have a heart that is bitter against God. It rises up against him. Examine your heart. You've got a heart just like mine. And this is what goes on in our hearts. We despise God. We care not about it. And this is the way it's being received. And so it was here. And therefore, we find that God sent these messengers and they were slain. Many of the prophets were killed. We find even John the Baptist, he was beheaded. Christ himself, the Son of the Father, who likewise proclaimed this glorious gospel, was taken and with wicked hands he was crucified and nailed to the accursed tree. And they despised him, they rejected him, a son that came into this world with a message of love and who did nothing else but good amongst the people. Oh, he did wonders amongst wonders, and still they rejected him, and they cast him out of the vineyard, as the Bible teaches us. And now because they slew these prophets and despised the messengers that were sent unto them, and we find that they brought this back to God. And the king, he became wroth, he became angry, and he sent forth his armies to destroy these murderers. And they burnt up their city, and everything was destroyed. Christ is speaking in a parable form to the people in the temple. I wonder if any of them understood that this was going to take place with them. Some of them did, I believe. Others probably paid no heed to it. But he proclaimed unto them what was going to come to pass. And this did come to pass. For 40 years later, God sent the Roman army. His armies, he used these armies. They came and they besieged Jerusalem. They surrounded it. And in this siege of Jerusalem, we find 1,100,000 Jews were slain and were killed. Their temple was destroyed, their city was burned up, and the people were dispersed all over the world. The wrath of God came down upon these people for their rejection of the gospel and of Christ, and of the glorious love that God revealed in sending his dear son unto them. Is it any wonder that God became angry and became wroth? And all my hearers, when you consider this, as you and I have been rejecting this and despising this and being careless about it, what shall become of me and you? If all the Jewish people had to be destroyed by the wrath of God, shall we abide? All my hearers, it will be an awful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. These people then, because of their despising God's servants and slaying them, despising Christ and what he brought unto them, they were destroyed. Oh, what a terrible curse come down upon these poor people and follow them even to this day. The curse is still resting upon them. Millions and millions of these poor Jewish people have lived since Christ was crucified, since their city was destroyed, and they have been lost, lost forever. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ, and they despised him, and they despise him, yet they haven't yet received him. There is a day coming, the Bible teaches us, that the Jewish people will return back to Jerusalem. We see them back in Jerusalem at the present time. But do we hear anything of them believing in the Messiah? Oh, the day must come when they shall receive him and believe in him. And then, my hearers, he will come. And then soon Jesus will appear upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. And now by this rejection and by what they did, God became angry. And he commanded his servants that those that had been bidden and had refused, they were not worthy of coming to the marriage. Go ye then into the highways and into the byways and gather in all that you meet, whether they be good or bad, and invite them to come to the feast. And then went out these servants. Oh, in this, my hearers, we have the wonderful love of God revealed, that he had thoughts of mercy towards Gentiles, towards heathens. He sent his servants out towards those that are on the highways and the byways. You and I, today, we are given to hear that there is mercy by God for sinners like we are. The Gentiles were excluded. You know, Christ himself spoke to his apostles and sent them only amongst the Jews. They were not to go amongst the heathens. They were not permitted to preach the gospel to them. But after this, God sent them forth, and they went forth preaching. And we have the apostles going unto the Gentiles, unto the heathens. We have the apostle Paul, a preacher of the Gentiles. And he won many a soul for Christ and for his glorious crown. Now today, we as Gentiles are given yet to hear this glorious message of the gospel. God has a purpose of salvation towards us, my hearers. He sends his servants unto you and me and proclaims unto us that we should return unto him. How do you receive the message? How have you received it? Do you make light of it? Do you pay no attention to it? Are you indifferent to it? Oh, what will become of you, my hearers? Oh, may God bring it home to your hearts. May you be given to receive this glorious message. Oh, we as ambassadors, the apostle speaks, beseech thee that thou would be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, such sinners, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I would pray every one of you of my hearers to beg God that your heart may be open, that you may receive the message, that you may no more pay a disregard and a disrespect to his precious word, but that you may receive it as the word of the living God. These people then that were given to hear this message, they were called to the wedding feast, and they came. They came from the highways and from the byways, and they were invited to come to the king's palace. And now in olden times, when a king made a feast or had a wedding, then these kings were very rich, and they had large wardrobes. And they, when they had a feast, everyone had to be adorned who with the same garment. They would provide those that had been invited with a garment to put on so that they all would be clothed with the same clothes. And now we find that these people who were on the highways and on the byways, they didn't have any time to go home and get a suitable clothing or apparel to come to such a feast. Therefore, they came to this feast and they were adorned with this garment to go into the feast. And now when they came into this feast, they gathered in good and bad. What are we to understand by this? We are not to understand that this is the day of judgment, but this is a gathering in into the visible church. God sends his messengers out. He's sending me out, a poor instrument, and he calls unto us to return unto him. And good and bad are gathered into the visible church. We read in the scriptures that the church, the kingdom of heaven, is compared to a threshing floor. You find on the threshing floor corn and tares. You find likewise it's compared to a field where there is wheat being grown and where there is tares growing. We find likewise it's compared to a fishing net. The fishermen go out to fish and they gather in their net good and bad. So the church is compared to this. We find it is likewise like a fold. There are sheep and there are goats. There are good and there are bad. This is what we must understand by this gathering in of bad and good. Because we cannot apply this to the day of judgment. There will never be any bad ones in heaven. There will only be those that are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, who are spotless in that precious robe before their Creator. And now they were gathered together in this great feast. And usually these kings, they held these feasts at night. And the rooms and the place where they held this feast in was usually lit up brilliantly with torches and various lights. Therefore, this allusion to this being cast out into darkness in this particular parable is so suitable. For if they went out of this place where they were having this wedding feast, that they would be out in the darkness in comparison to the beautiful lighting system that they had in the palace. And now these people all gathered together, we find that the king came in to view the guest. My hearers, if ever you make a profession of religion, if ever you assume an office in the Church of God, if ever you take it upon yourself to become a preacher, a minister, or whatever you may attempt to be, remember there is a God in heaven. He's viewing us. He knows us. He knows our hearts, and he knows the secrets within us. He came to view who were seated in this particular place where they were having this wedding feast. He viewed them all, and when he views, he knows. You know, we may deceive each other. We may put on a profession of religion. We may look like we are Christians and act like Christians and live like Christians for people, but God knows our hearts. Oh, what an awful thing it is, my hearers, when we think that God views us and that God is watching us, especially those that make a profession in the church. He came in and he viewed the guest. And when he came in, he found there a man seated without a wedding garment on. Oh, my hearers, this man, he had come in and he had went by the governor of the feast, and probably the governor offered him a garment, but he wouldn't accept it. He thought his own was good enough. He didn't need a garment like that. He went in and he sat down. Now, he had been sitting with these people, but nobody noticed him. Nobody took notice of him until the king came in. So it is with us. Now, we may say, well, I don't need to be born again. I don't need to have a new heart. I don't have to have these things that are being proclaimed. If I live right and I do what's right and I obey God, well, I'll surely go to heaven. This, normally, a lot of people think is right. Oh, to think that they must receive a new life, that they must receive the righteousness of Christ without which they'll never be able to stand before God. These things people are not even taught in the days in which we live. They are just taught to live good and to be good, and you'll sure go to heaven. And when they die, every one of them is sent to heaven without being born again, without having a new life. Oh, what a time we live in, my hearers, when you consider how many poor souls are being deceived in this manner. But you can't deceive God. Here was a man. He came in. He came in what? He came in with his own works, with his own doings. He thought he was good enough. He didn't need no garment. And he sat down. Nobody noticed him. Nobody took any particular attention to him. But when the king came in, he seen him. He sorted him out. And he went to him. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither without a wedding garment on? And he was speechless. He had nothing to say. Oh, my hearers, we can't attribute this to the day of judgment. We can't attribute this to heaven either, because no such person will ever enter into heaven. So it's here. It's here in the visible church. And now this man did not have a wedding garment on. And when he was questioned by the king, he was speechless. Oh, my hearers, this king questioned him and said unto him, Friend, he even called him a friend, how comest thou in hither? Oh, he said unto him in these words, how come you made a profession of religion when you were upon earth? How come that you came under the true doctrines, under the true ministry? How come that you came up to the Lord's table and you accepted and you drank the blood and you took of the body of Christ and you sealed your own damnation? Oh, my hearers, this was a hypocrite in disguise. And there are many such, my hearers, in the visible church. And God knows them. God knows our hearts. And he tries us. Oh, I hope that none of us may put on a profession of religion in this way. For oh, it will be terrible for the king to come in and to discover us that we never had a new life, a new heart, never had grace in our souls, never were born again, never fled to Jesus to find forgiveness in his precious blood. All this is necessary, my hearers. By this garment that he did not have on, we must understand the work of grace in the soul of a sinner, which is a preparative for heaven above. If we have not this work going on in us, we may make a profession of religion, but we are void of the truth within. God looks for truth within. And all my hearers, this man then, he became speechless. Oh, thinking of this, I thought, oh, what an awful day it'll be in the day of judgment. Oh, we have so many people that are religious, so many people that you can't say anything about, and so many people, they think so lightly about these things. Oh, they take on a profession of religion, and they go forth, and they are so zealous, and they are laboring for the kingdom of Christ. They call to sinners to accept Christ, and they gain so many people. They have won so many souls for Christ, and they never were won for Christ themselves. And oh, in that great day, how many of these poor creatures will be found out? Oh, how many, even Christ himself said, will say, have we not taught in thy name? Have we not done wonders in thy name? Oh, there will be so many that mean to go in, my hearers, and they will be like this man. They never had the preparative to enter in. God will examine them, and they will hear from his blessed lips, go away from me. This man, then, he was sitting there speechless. Oh, he couldn't say one word to everything that he was questioned upon. And all this is something that happens likewise, my hearers. When God begins to question you and I, then we are speechless. We haven't got anything to say. And now where he had nothing to say and nothing to defend himself with, therefore the king said unto his servants, take him, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This then was the lot of this man that was found without a wedding garment on. All the servants had to bind him, and they had to cast him into this outer darkness. As I was speaking about this place, and outside of this place it was darkness, it is a symbol, it is a type of that place where everyone will be cast into that is not adorned with that glorious wedding garment, the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Oh, my hearers, to be bound hand and foot and to be cast out into that place of eternity that will be. Oh, what a terrible thing to mean to go in and then to be turned back into hell. Oh, how necessary for you and I to examine ourselves in the sight of God. Oh, how necessary to pray with David, search me, O God, and try me. Aren't you afraid sometimes when you read something like this, where you have made a profession of religion, and that you may be found in that great day without the righteousness of Christ? Oh, how necessary, my hearers, to test the work within, to have a witness from heaven whether it is true or not. Oh, terrible it'll be to deceive ourselves and then to deceive others, and then to have those others rise up against us in that day and say, you said this, you taught this. Oh, my hearers, we have to answer before God what we say and what we teach. Oh, how terrible it'll be if we are found without a wedding garment on. He wasn't found naked. He had clothes on him, but he didn't have the right garment on him. So you can have a profession of religion. You can have things that may appear good to others, but is it good in the sight of God? Is it his work? That's most important. He was then cast out into that awful place, and we find the Lord speaking, for many are called, but few are chosen. Oh, this seals it all, my hearers. Oh, thinking of that, many are called,
Oh, from the time of creation, how many thousands and millions of people have been called. The voice has been coming to millions of people. And how many of those millions who have sat under a sound ministry, who have listened all their life to gospel truths, who have said yea and amen with their head that that's the way it should be, and they have perished, they have went lost forever. All thousands and millions of people have been cast into outer darkness, my hearers. Many are called. God calls to each and every one of us. He calls by his word. He calls by his servants. He calls likewise by your conscience. He speaks to you, my hearers. You are not void of a conscience. God speaks to you. He calls. He calls likewise by providence. He calls by sicknesses, by afflictions. He calls likewise by accidents. He calls likewise with war, with famine. He calls by storms and terrible things that he does in nature. They are voices unto us. They teach us that we should turn back to God. Oh, how many listen to these voices? How many of these calls have you and I had, and we have passed them by? We have made light of them. Oh, how few have ever received a call that has went home to their hearts. Oh, my hearers, there is another call coming, and that is death. We all got to be called to die. And how shall we appear before God? Many are called, but few are chosen. All this teaches us that there are some that will be saved. They are those that have been chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. They are those that have been given unto Christ in the councils of peace. Thine they were, and thou gavest them unto me, he says. For them he came into this world. For them he suffered, he bled, he died. Many of them he called himself while he was here below. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree. He was one. He was a person that's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He called his apostles from their being fishermen and one from being a publican, as he called you. He has called you the way I've been explaining it, but as he called you internally, my hearers, all you know, being chosen is a word that very few people like to hear, that there is an election of God, that God is sovereign, and that he makes choice of one and not of the other. And now there are various sorts of elections. Christ Jesus is called the elect, the servant of God. We read likewise of angels being elected, those that retained their first estate and never fell away from God. We read likewise of even a Judas. He likewise was chosen. He was chosen to a wonderful office of being an apostle and a preacher of the gospel, but he was not chosen in the eternal counsel of God. We may be chosen likewise to be an elder, to be a minister, and still not have grace, still not be one of those that God has made choice of, who he has given to his dear son. Oh, examine yourselves, my hearers, by the teaching of his precious word, for it'll go out very close, very close. The Lord Jesus Christ said, broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. But narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there are that find it. Oh, there is then a chosen generation. And these are called with an eternal call. And these are called by God, by his word, by his spirit. They hear another voice besides the voice of him that's speaking or reading. And they are given to obey that voice. They are given a new heart. They are given a new life. They are given to leave the world and forsake their sins. They are given to come upon that narrow way, come what may. If they even perish at the end, they can do no other than what God has given them to do. Oh, then there are so few, my hearers. There came one to Jesus, and he said unto Jesus, are there many? that shall be saved? And what was the answer that Jesus gave? Are there many that shall be saved? He spake and said, strive to enter in. For many shall mean to enter in that day, but shall not be able to. I would leave you, my Bible class, with these words, strive to enter in. Oh, strive at the throne of grace. Beg God that you may be one of them of whom he has made choice, who he has given to his dear son. Oh, tell him, open my heart, Lord. Give me to receive the call and not to despise it and to make light of it. Pray to him, my hearers, that you may be found one of these who shall never be lost, but eternally glorify Christ for his grace shown unto you, one of the chiefest, one of the greatest of sinners. That concludes our lesson for today.